B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
139 to 107, and the Celtics can dribble out the clock. A rough couple of weeks in Celtics Nation, and a lot of people starting to raise questions, virtually all of which were answered tonight emphatically, as the Celtics don't just beat the Western Conference's best team. They blow them off the floor. The final score, Boston 139, LA 107.
It's hour three, Felger and Maz here. It's 4:03 in the afternoon from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Maz and Murray alongside. Let's hit on some different things. We'll circle back to Brady and the Patriots here in a few minutes. But first, thoughts on Celtics last night over the Lakers.
Tremendous. I mean, best win in a long, long time. In fact, as I think about it, I say last year when they had, you know, all those expectations and they were a disappointment during the regular season, I'm sure there was a big win in there somewhere along the line. But this year goes without saying, and the way it started, like in the first 2 minutes, you know, the Lakers came out moving at a frantic pace. The Celtics were slow.
It's down 8-0.
Like 10-2 or something, too, right?
How good was LeBron passing the ball early
tremendous
in that game?
Tremendous. And they were just getting dunks and layups, yeah, right? It was like, you know, they were dominating the area around the rim on both ends of the floor. And it felt like the Celtics weren't ready to go, like they weren't ready for the pace of it. And they get hit with
which you've seen night after night after night lately with this team.
They just get hit with a haymaker right out of the gate. It was like, oh boy. And then to their credit, they cranked it up and played at the pace and intensity they needed to. And they really all played well. I mean, they got something from just about everybody in the front seven guys. Like, I thought they were all pretty good.
Yeah, and there was nothing fluky about it. So, you know, there's no asterisk, nothing like that, especially when I thought they were going to get killed with the way that they've been going. It's the statement win. It's the win of the year. It's kind of annoying a little bit, I'll be honest, that it comes that they're playing LeBron, the Lakers, big national television game. So, I don't know. It just feels like they've been half-assing it for the better part of a month. So they turn it on for one night, and you see what they're capable of. But why can't we get more of that consistently? So I was happy that they won. It was a great game. But part of me was a little bit pissed because it's like, where's this been?
Oh, well, they desperately needed it. Desperately. I mean, we've been talking about it now for weeks. Like, when are you going to show your ceiling? When are you going to show what you're capable of? You got to have a couple of those nights, you know, half dozen to a dozen throughout the course of the regular season. I know it's meaningless. I know it's a grind. But there's just a certain amount of nights where you got to show it. You got to show the opponent. You have to establish something. You've got to prove to everyone and yourselves what you are. And it'd been so long since they had a night like that. You could even claim they haven't had a night like that this year. And finally, I guess the first game they were at their ceiling. I mean, when they beat the Bucks the first week of the year, I think that was their best win of the year to this point. Wasn't Jaylen Brown out of that game?
Sounds right.
I think someone was out against the Bucks in week one. And then I think their second signature win, quote unquote, was at Toronto on Christmas. Were they fully loaded that game, or was Gordon Hayward just coming back that game and he was limited?
I forget. I know Brown had a great game.
Like, I feel like this was the first game of the year, the only game of the year, where they were totally healthy. Everyone got big minutes and everyone contributed at a high elite level. Like, how many games have you had Brown, Tatum, and Hayward all go off like they did?
I mean, not many.
And Kemba Walker. And, like, so that was finally, like, the ceiling of the team. And I don't think they've hit that with a fully loaded lineup all season long. And if, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, if they were all in there against the Bucks, I think someone was hurt. And
Jaylen Brown did not play that game.
Okay, and what about Toronto on Christmas?
Siakam didn't play.
Well, I know on the point, I'm talking about the Celtics. You know, they haven't really proven that they can reach that level when everyone's in the lineup and it seems like they're always at their best when someone's been taken away from them.
Brown, Tatum, Walker, and Hayward all played.
How many minutes did Hayward get on Christmas? Was he just
26.
Coming? 26. Okay, so maybe that's another example. I just think there's been so few and far between.
Definitely.
Where I've seen them all go off and all, like, all be themselves. I mean, Hayward was aggressive early, scored early. Brown's dunking on LeBron. Tatum's all over the place at the three-point line. Like, that's
and Tatum's defense was awesome, too. He was like a Avery Bradley.
So that's like, finally, they had to, you know, they've finally broken this cycle of playing a bum team and then a marquee game the next night. And it felt like it was going to be 3-for-3 where they lose both. where they lose both. Last, you know, a couple weeks ago it was San Antonio, then at Philly, and then last week it was what bum team, and then Milwaukee,
Detroit,
and then this week it was Phoenix, and now you're going to lose to the Lakers too. Like, you got, so they finally broke that cycle and showed up on the TNT game. So that's great. I'll tell you what I am concerned about now, because I do think it's an issue with the team, and that is their DNA and their maturity and their mindset. Like, how's Jaylen Brown going to walk around this week now?
Good question.
Oh, you dunked on LeBron, buddy. Okay, and Tatum, your jersey ranks fourth in sales in the East. Are they going to take one win over the Lakers on TNT and Brown got to dunk on LeBron? Are they going to walk around for a week, you know, like the cat's ass, and you slip into what they have been, which is sort of non-focused and thinking you've arrived and da-da-da? That, like, that's not my next concern.
Well, and that's a good concern because, again, look at what it took to get this out of them. They had to go into a slump, and they had to get punched in the face in the first 2 minutes. And they obviously speak figuratively. They weren't at the same pace as the Lakers to start the game. And then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, we better change this now. Like, and it is one of those things where you look at it and you say, boy, you can get to that level. You can get to that peak. And as Murray said, why don't we see that more frequently?
And that's why, like, last night doesn't erase what I've watched over the last 2 or 3 weeks with this team. It's great, and hopefully this is the start of something, and they now have their signature win, but I'm not going to forget what's happened here.
They're too young and too unaccomplished to be pulling this act this early in their careers.
No question about that, Maz. And I think that's, you know, despite the fact they made their shots and they shot well and all that, they were engaged. I mean, how many balls?
No, it was about the energy.
How many balls did they keep alive on the offensive glass?
All over there. And the pace of the wit they played. I mean, they scored 140 points, for crying out loud.
So, and it started, though, with energy level, loose balls, hitting the glass, et cetera, et cetera. And so, like, little things. And I just, look, I'm still in on the Celtics. I haven't signed any paperwork. I'm not taking any take back. I'm just telling you now. Now the thing is, Jaylen Brown. Okay, you know he's feeling himself. He thinks he's Dr. J today. And so how's he going to respond the next game?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Again, oh, neat. You dunked on LeBron. Whee! It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter one bit. But I worry that kid now gets a fat head. And what's he going to be?
I mean, guys that have been in the league for 3 years and haven't won anything shouldn't be taking nights off against Detroit.
I mean, Tatum dunked on LeBron in that East final, and I felt like for a year he was walking around.
Completely,
like,
changed his mentality.
I'm a bad man. Oh, I'm the guy. Like, no, you just scored 2 points. It's 2 points. It really doesn't matter. It means nothing that you dunked on LeBron. Like, so, but this is what I worry about. Like, the hype train gets going, and are those kids ready to, you know, buckle down and know what it takes?
It's a good thing to worry about with them. In fact, it's the number one thing to worry about with them. And you know, the next time they play the Lakers, February 23rd out there. So you get them again in a month, which is good. It's not a long time. And the Lakers didn't like the way that thing went down last night. LeBron on his home floor in L.A. sees him again, because LeBron will play the game. Once the game gets away from him, LeBron will say, oh, yeah, I give the Celtics credit. He's been around long enough, and he'll play the whole political game. Out there, the Lakers will be ready to go, and they won't take the foot off the gas.
Well, and out there, I don't think, maybe it'll happen, but is LeBron going to be helicoptering back and forth to Springfield to watch Bronny play 10 minutes in a high school game?
Highly doubt it. I mean, maybe he is. Who the hell knows?
Oh, my God.
I just think
don't get me started with this.
Yeah, I just think that once the game started getting away from him, once the Celtics answered, and to their credit, they did. The first half, the Lakers were pretty competitive. Then the game opened up, and I thought the Lakers pretty much shut it down.
But don't discount that LeBron thing. He did not have his normal pregame routine. And there was some reason, like, a lot of people, not just Stu. I think Stu did it because he got good seats. But, like,
no, you do things like that. I have no agendas whatsoever.
Oh, no, you're right. No, yeah.
As a responsible broadcast journalist.
Agenda-free back there behind the glass. Right.
You better believe it.
Right, okay. So, but on some of the pregames, both Scal and Barkley were like, Celtics are winning tonight. And I wish I could do. Do you have a Barkley in you? Did you watch a TNT pregame
yes,
last night?
Yes, I did, yeah.
You know, Turbo, how does Barkley? I guarantee it. Can you do Barkley? You must be able to.
No.
Turbo.
People probably accuse me of being racist.
Come on, Murray,
try.
Dance.
No, Turbo. He's so distinctive, but he guaranteed it. He guaranteed the Celtics hard. And so did Scal. Like, where did this come from? And you know what part of it I think it is? Is that LeBron was traipsing around the state to watch Bronny play his 11 minutes in a high school game. And they were talking the TNT thing. And he didn't get his pregame nap. Like, you know, these guys nap during the day and they have a whole pregame routine. He was too busy watching Bronny. And so, like.
Well, Barkley made a good point, too, right? They had a big win against Houston 2 nights before. So, like, all of a sudden you come in, the Celtics have been slumping. Everybody was thinking Lakers. And look, I'm glad the Celtics answered. You know, last night was a classic game where you got to be able to answer back. And if LeBron's, you know, taking his eye off the ball, great. Excellent. To me, it's still as much about how the Celtics looked and responded after the first 2 minutes as it is winning the actual game.
Ceiling.
LeBron made you jealous facilitating that offense that well.
He was tremendous passing the ball last night. He was early in that game. Great passing.
I mean, the other thing is, you know, Davis hadn't played in five games since landing on his back.
And he looked like it.
And so,
and he gets in foul trouble early too. So
yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to take a lot away from the Celtics last night. No, I don't. I mean, you didn't get the Lakers at their best. You didn't. But even so, the Lakers came out looking to hit the Celtics hard, hoping that the Celtics would wilt, and the Celtics answered and played maybe their best game of the year.
So ceiling, you just finally saw what the team's capable of for one of the few times, really. And so
beating the Lakers in the NBA Finals, I saw it.
Let's see if they can keep their heads screwed on straight. That's the issue on this team. It's not talent. They have the talent. They have the talent. They have the talent to sniff at Milwaukee and make it difficult on Milwaukee and really challenge Milwaukee. And to be the second team in the East and to be right there with the Bucks. I've said that from day one. I've not come off it because the talent is there. I don't know. I still wonder about the mindset. Now they got to show to me that they can keep their heads on straight. Or they're just going to strut around because they dunked on LeBron last night.
Another thing, too, that like I liked but also annoyed me last night is like see Brad Stevens, when you play Enes Kanter more than 20 minutes, good things happen. You get rebounding. Sure, the defense might dip a little bit. But when you play Kanter, they win. There's a number that backs that up. They're 13-3 when Kanter plays more than 20 minutes.
I just like the rotations. He only really played eight guys.
Yeah, that was it. Ogilvy doesn't even really count.
And so he was the eighth. And, you know, it's like, finally, he just kept the guys on the floor. This wasn't old Hickory where he's bringing out the, you know, everyone's got to get their minutes. And I thought that was all scaled back. I mean, they ultimately, when you look at the box score, they got minutes because the thing was out of hand. But for the bulk of the game, it was a tight bench. It's like, finally, you don't have to play everybody, Brad.
Yeah, and they did. They got something from everybody. In fact, you know, Smart didn't have a great game, but they get such great scoring from everybody else. And Kanter was a force. So, you know, look, to me, it's the best they've looked all year. And like, if that's the idea, positionless basketball, they can all score 20, which is really effectively what happened last night. Then, you know, they could be a hard time for some teams. I think that that game was pretty open last night. It was played at a fast pace, so there was a lot of transition, and I think that suits the Celtics. If they get into a little bit more of a half-court game, they're going to have trouble.
Okay.
But anyway, last night was good.
Mixing some Celtics thoughts with your football calls. We'll get right back to them after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Five-game trip for the Lakers. New York, Brooklyn, Philly coming up. Jaylen Brown catches, drives left side, elevates over Danny Green and throws it down hard with two hands. And Frank Vogel has to call a timeout. It happened out of nowhere, and it's not the first time tonight the Celtics have caught the Lakers on an inbound.
Excuse me. What you miss here is LeBron James got dunked on. He got his sandwich picked and taken.
LeBron, did you see him dunk on LeBron?
It's amazing.
I'm getting people in trouble for something they haven't done yet, but this, like, the concern should be Jaylen Brown. You get a little too giddy over a dunk. It's 2 points, and it happens. And the whole reason you dunked on LeBron is because LeBron was under there doing his job. He didn't bail out. He didn't, you know, the whole reason you get posterized, you know, posterized him. The whole NBA dunk thing to me is like, oh my God.
Because you hate fun, of course.
I think the slam dunk is the single most overrated play in all of sports.
It's up there.
Oh my God.
When you're in the building, it pops. It's a good time.
You know what? You're actually kind of right about that.
Of course.
That's a fair
especially
point.
When you have your seats next to the owner.
It's a fair point.
I mean, it can be a momentum shifter at times.
Well, I will high-five my fellow white man on the floor when the dunk happens. I know what you're saying, Murray. That I'm going to be honest because I'm an honest person. I'm a slave to just the facts and truth.
Fantastic. Wasn't that Wick?
It was. It was. We did the white man high-five. With our Blackberries clipped to our belt and our Docksiders.
You do have a Blackberry, too.
On the front row. So, yes, I do know that. But I do also know that when I'm watching ESPN in the morning and they do the top 10 highlights of the night before and it's dunks, I'm like, it's just like, oh, neat.
You still watch ESPN. That's your problem.
Neat. He dunked. Oh, wee. Did you see the dunk? He dunked on him. Oh, wee. So, like, I immediately just sort of, you know me. But the real concern, though, is Jaylen Brown. Does he buy the crap? Because I think Jason Tatum dunked on LeBron in the East Finals 2 years ago, and he's still walking around like he did it. And it's still, like, in the back of, that's who I am. Well, no, it was just 2 points, and you lost. I'd like to see Jaylen Brown the next game. That's what I want to see.
Well, look, and he said it after the game, too, right? Like, initially he said, well, look, it's really just another play, another dunk.
You're talking about LeBron?
No, Jaylen Brown.
Oh, Jaylen Brown, okay.
Yeah. He said the right things.
Well, but then someone said, well, you know, it's not a little different. He goes, okay, fine, yeah, I admit it. You know, so it absolutely meant something to him. And what concern, look, if these guys continue on their trajectory, because you watch them on a night like last night and you say, they've improved. I mean, Brown's improved a lot. You know, he didn't have much of a skill game when he, you know, I shouldn't say much of, but he's improved a ton. And Tatum was more polished when he came into the league, but he's getting better. They're both getting better. And you could walk away from a game last night and say in 2 years, ooh, they could be pretty good.
Yeah. If they don't get big heads.
Right? Exactly.
You want to see Brown. I want to see Tatum. Cause I don't know how many people actually watch Saturday night's game, but if you did in the first half, like Tatum just drives me crazy. His inconsistency, but more than anything else, like, he reminded me of, like, bad Kyrie in the first half of that game against Phoenix because he's demanding the ball. He's pouting when he doesn't get it. And when he does get it, he's not passing it. It's all ISO. And it's just I almost put up 40 points. But, like, I don't know. He lacks on defense, but he's not getting his shot either. So you see how he plays defensively last night where he's looking like a younger Avery Bradley. And it's like, where is that on a night-to-night basis? So him I want to see tomorrow night against Memphis if he goes back to where he was before last night.
Okay, fair point. Your thoughts on this and all of our football conversation. Dave and Lowell. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, Felger. I don't understand where you're coming from. The problem is not Brown. The problem is Brad Stevens, and I don't know where you guys don't see this. This team is never going to win with Brad Stevens. They're not a team that sounds like all they care about is winning, and that's going to start with the coach. This guy's not
a
Popovich.
He's
not going to get at them.
Dave, you're so wrong.
No, you're so wrong. You keep just saying this, oh, I want to see what they do tomorrow night. You know what this team is capable of.
Dave,
nothing. They're going nowhere.
You're speaking to a Brad bot, and I will even tell you, the coach in that league is an afterthought. It's an afterthought. Sorry. He is subordinate to the will of the superstar players on the team. That's the way it works in that league. And until Brown and Tatum grow up and get their heads screwed on straight, doesn't matter what Brad does, says, practices, et cetera, et cetera. I know I'm preaching to the choir with Maz on that one.
Yeah, look, I mean, to me, as far as, you know, I just don't, the only thing I would say that the coach could have an influence on is the attitudes. If these guys get so cocky and he doesn't hold them accountable.
Oh, I think he's powerless.
See, I don't.
I think the only power he has is his rotations. Which is why I'm happy to see he didn't play the, you know, it was eight guys last night, you know, 7.5, which that's the only thing you can control. Like, the guarantee, Jaylen Brown already makes $25 million a year. What does he make? Some sort of insane amount of money, and he's done exactly nothing. And it's like, what's a coach going to do with that?
Okay, but again, doesn't mean you have to play him.
No, right, so that's what I'm saying. Rotations and minutes.
So if a guy's attitude sucks, you can take minutes away. You can do that. So all I'm saying is this. If these guys don't develop properly, who's that on? And I would include Ainge in that, by the way, because the president of basketball operations can get in line with the coach and say, sit his ass down. Sit his ass down. If this guy's, you know, being a pill on the court and he's being a pill in practice and he doesn't get back on defense because he's not making his shots, pull his ass out of the game and sit him on the bench. and then let's see if you get it out of him. So to me, because the talent's there, and I questioned it with Brown at the beginning. Brown's improved a ton. He really has. And Tatum last night at one point doing the crossover between his legs, you know, he had the defense completely on its heels. Their handle's getting better, both of them.
So this is a little bit of a different tune from you, Maz, because you think they do have elite talent.
Last night was a night to me that it popped a little bit. And I just thought the Lakers at the beginning of that game, the pace of the game, and when I say pace of the game, I don't mean that you're looking to play in transition. I mean the game was played frantically at times. And the game can break down. Guys' skills can break down a lot when that happens.
They have the talent.
And they answered last night.
They have the talent.
They made shots. They executed. Like, that was a night where you looked at it and said, ooh, there's a little bit of a glimpse of the future if it goes right.
Would you be willing to sign a letter of legitness, man?
No, because I just don't think it's there consistently enough. I think that's how that league is.
We're preparing the paperwork for you, Murray. Don't you worry about it. Henry in the car on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Henry.
Hey, with Tom Brady, the only thing is if he's committed to the young guy that he's in the offseason to do the work, to do what he needs to do, I'll welcome him back, open arms, give him whatever he wants. But he needs to practice. He needs to be there with the young guys and his weapons so we could get better.
Agreed. The whole operation has to change to bring him back. And that's not just the OTAs. It's everything. It's his attitude. And not that it's the worst attitude ever, but he's got to, work harder to believe in his teammates, work with his teammates, be patient with his teammates, be willing to dumb the offense down for his teammates. And do all those things. You commit to him financially. He commits, sort of dials back the clock to the way he used to prepare with the team and handle his teammates and all of that. And they got to reset that whole thing. So, yes, I'm very big on that as well. Tom in Philadelphia on the Patriots. Hi, Tom. Okay. He just dropped off. Fred in Cranston on the Patriots. On the Celtics. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, I just like to say that Tatum. Murray is absolutely right about Tatum. He's too inconsistent. There are times a kid looks spectacular, and then he thinks that he has to do it every time down the court. If he just said, make the spectacular play, then come down next time, pass the ball off, it would be great. And Mike, you're right about the slam dunking. I mean, ESPN in the morning. It kills me. It kills me. I can't stand it.
He dunked. No way. The 6'11" guy dunked the basketball? Oh, play of the day. Oh, wow. Wee. Dunk. Dipsy do dunkaroo. Wee. He dunked on LeBron. Did you see it? But if I were there, I would have high-fived the owner. Yeah, I would have. Nate in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Nate.
So my idea for the overtime shootout idea for football, I think an interesting way to make it all about the total skill of a team is if you're getting 5 attempts each to score, you start at the 25, your first try, then the 20, the second try,
Nate,
the 15, the third,
Nate,
you keep going.
Nathan, I can't do this.
How'd that even get through?
La, 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 la. As soon as he started talking, I stopped listening.
This all came up because at the Pro Bowl this week, they're going to try the modified onside kick idea, which you may have heard, which is there's no onside kicks. There's no kickoffs in the Pro Bowl period. They just give the team the ball at the 25. But they're going to try, if you want to keep the ball, you score a touchdown, and instead of trying an onside kick, you have a 4th and 15 at your own 25, and you bring your offense out. So if you convert the 4th and 15, you keep the ball. That is in place of an onside kick. People have tried to promote this, that the NFL should go to this full time because you can't recover onside kicks anymore because they've changed the rules. You can't have too many guys on one side of the line. You can't run up anymore. And so, what is it, only 13%, 8%, something like that?
It was 13% this year.
So the people are wondering, how do we get back to the old onside kick where teams would recover 20, 30% of the time? And so, but we're not going to solicit your fakakta ideas.
Or you can elect to kick a 50-yard field goal for 4 points.
I love that. Oh, wait a minute, because then that's what happens. Coming up next, the latest on the Red Sox cheating scandal and It's my favorite time of year, Murray. You know what that means.
Oh, Maz.
Oh, yeah.
It's Maz's Hall of Fame ballot.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a big day.
Who'd he vote for and why? Oh, that's all coming up after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, everybody. Time to bitch and complain about who Tony Mass thinks should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Mass's Hall of Fame ballot. Who'd he vote for and why? Did he port Clemens and Barry Bonds and Curt Schilling because he's a douche? Oh, it's Maz's Hall of Fame ballot. Who'd he vote for and why? He doesn't even cover the Red Sox anymore, but he's still in the BBWA.
It's an annual tradition, biannual. We do this a couple times a year. First, when the ballot comes out. And then the day the Hall of Fame entrants are announced, and that is tonight, 6 o'clock.
Yep.
Baseball Hall of Fame will announce who gets in. Maz, who did you vote for? Who do you think's getting in?
Okay, so I voted for Jeter, Bonds, Clemens, Manny. That's it. Jeter's a lock. We all know that. He's going to get in. The rest of them, I mean, to me, it feels like Larry Walker's going to get in on this ballot, which makes me want to vomit.
If you're watching NBC Sports Boston, you are witnessing and looking at the actual Hall of Fame ballot as it appears to Maz.
They send it via courier pigeon.
Seriously, though, look at that thing. Looks like it was printed out on a dot matrix printer from about 30 years ago.
Not that fancy.
Nope.
You thought it would be like scrolls and like, you know, but nope. Just a ditto sheet.
And I'm gonna offer to redesign it for them. Something a little sexier or more professional than something that looks like it.
How about an app?
Yeah, well, that'll work, too. I'm all for that, Murray.
At the very bottom, it asks for your BBWAA badge number, or if you're an honorary member, you're now checking honorary member, you've lost your number?
Oh, yeah, I've been honorary for a long time.
You don't have a BBA card or number?
No, I have a card, but they only give it to me once, and I hold on to it.
Oh, God.
Not every year anymore. I don't cover anymore.
It's a gold card.
How much longer is that good time going to last?
I don't know. This could be it. It's any one of these years, they're pulling the plug on me, and that'll be the end of that.
And then what do we do with the bit?
I'll still cast a fake ballot if you want. We could totally make it up. And from that standpoint, had I known about the Astros cheating scandal, I would have... I would have crapped all over Major League Baseball in this year's ballot, but at the time I didn't know.
Okay, so quickly, Larry Walker, you're a no. Why?
Because he just here's the point I've reached with players. If I have to look up stats or think about it, you're out. I mean, I know when I know. Okay, like it's like the Supreme Court definition of porn, or whatever. If you meet the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with, you know when you know.
It's just common sense.
That's how I feel like with the Hall of Fame ballot now. If I have to spend 5 seconds thinking about it, you're out. That's sort of what I've reached. And so to me, it should be the top 10% of the top 10%, which is 1%.
Small hall.
Yeah, totally. And so, to me, Bonds, Clemens, Jeter, no-brainers. And Manny should be a no-brainer. Manny's going to have a hard time because of, the steroid testing and everything else. Larry Walker? I mean, come on. I said this to Murray during a break a little while ago. First of all, anybody who's ever played for Colorado, you're out. You're out.
Who's the greatest Colorado Rocky of all time? I asked you this before.
Probably Todd Helton.
Tulowitzki?
I think Helton was better. Well, Helton was there longer, I think.
I half jokingly said Dante Bichette.
Who was the best player on the World Series team when you faced him in 07? Like, I can't remember a single guy on that team.
I think Helton. I mean, they had, what's his name was on that team too, Matt Holliday, right? He got picked off at first base. Holliday was a good player for them, too. But even so, those guys, I have to factor in the Coors Field thing. I'm sorry. Like, and this came up just because we were talking about the Nolan Arenado story. But even Arenado, who was like this great defensive player, his OPS on the road is .799.
Why are you a no on Schilling?
Because to me, Schilling falls in the same class as Jack Morris, Andy Pettit. You can give me I put John Smoltz in the same group of these guys who were not quite there long enough during the regular season, but they were great postseason performers. David Cone is another one I put in that group, and I'm no one all of them. I have to look at numbers.
Where were you with Pettit?
No.
Where were you with, who's that, Mussina?
No.
Did he get in?
Who he got did. Mussina's in.
God, oh, give me so a break.
Mussina's in. So I was a no on him. Like, Bert Blylevin, no. I put all those guys kind of in the same group. I need to, you know, you need to be a guy that I look at and go, hands down, no question.
You want to discuss Maz's Hall of Fame ballot? 617-779-0985. They announced right at 6. Second item, another Red Sox. A couple more Red Sox have come out. I guess they did the fan winter festival thing over the weekend. J.D. Martinez and other Red Sox continue to express confidence that they're going to be cleared, exonerated, or just let go in the investigation that got Alex Cora fired. J.D. Martinez, again the latest, he said over the weekend, "I'm excited for the investigation to get over with, just so they can see there was nothing going on here." When asked if he believed the investigation would reveal no wrongdoing, Martinez responded affirmatively. "I believe that, yes," he said. He said, "I was in there, so I saw straight up," Martinez said. "Everyone seems to forget that in 2016 and 17, this was a really good team. They won 93 games those 2 years, and then we just got better. Like I said, I'm excited for it," meaning the report. "Really not allowed to comment on it, but we'll see what happens." So where do you think this continued confidence on the part of the Red Sox is coming from?
Okay, first of all, I would tell J.D. Martinez the year they won 93 is the year they got busted with the Apple Watches. Okay, so be careful, like, which years you pick, because, again, they were doing something that year. So I think the thing's a bag job. I have felt from the beginning that there was a deal cut with Major League Baseball. The whole thing was orchestrated, that Manfred spoke with the owners in question, meaning the Mets, the Red Sox, and the Astros, in terms of how this thing was going to be handled. They were going to keep it nice and tidy till all that happened with the Astros in 2017. There would be fall guys from that, and that was going to be the end of it. And that the Red Sox penalty for 2018, which was less than what the Astros did in 2017, I think, because they didn't actually weren't banging on a trash can, for as far as we know, that their penalty was, you're going to have to get rid of your manager. You're going to do that. We're going to hit you maybe with some draft stuff too, but we'll see, you know, depending on exactly what comes out of that 2018. But I think it was a bad job. I think it was complete. Tom Keegan wrote about this in the Herald today, and I couldn't agree with him more. I think the whole thing is a complete sham.
Oh, of course it is. It's a fix in this false confidence or bravado that they were talking about last week with the please reserve judgment. And now it's Rochy and Marloni and now players. J.D. Martinez saying, oh, we feel confident it's going to come back. Yeah, it's going to come back sanitized because you made a deal and it's going to show that it began and ended with Cora, which is a crock. And we're all going to have to try to, you know, be told that this is what we need to accept. And I'm not going to.
That's not accurate.
You know, it's 100% accurate, Sam. It's a crock. You made a deal with Major League Baseball so that shows it was Cora acting.
We would ask that everyone reserve judgment.
Oh, F off, nerd.
So can I just give you one more quick thing since you brought up J.D. Martinez?
Please.
Because there's
I'll take that one, given the...
there's a lot of discussion about cheating and electronics and everything else. And so I was thinking about this last week while all this was going on. Why is J.D. Martinez allowed to have a tablet in the dugout? Why is that allowed? Take your tablet and leave it in the clubhouse. For that matter, why do players need to go to the clubhouse during the game? There's a bathroom at the bottom of the stairs.
So they can swipe right on Tinder.
Pablo Sandoval in the hopper. Like, anybody who ever played baseball at any level, you didn't have to go somewhere else to go sit for 15 minutes and get away from the bench. You sat there. If you had to go to take a leak, you went to the porta potty. In this case, you got bathrooms at the end of the... You know what I would do? I'd lock them in the field of play. No electronics. You don't go to the clubhouse. Everybody sits and actually has to watch the game. And no tablet, no phone, no watch. Play the effing game. Play it. And make the decision in real time about how the pitcher is going to address you without looking at your dumbass tablet. Like, what is with all this stuff? Just play the effing game.
Okay, there's your baseball.
We ask our fans to reserve judgment.
Sorry, Tom, I didn't mean to step on you there.
I'll take that one, given the...
Okay, Sam, so your thoughts on this?
That's not accurate.
Maz's Hall of Fame ballot, the Celtics we introduced this hour. We'll reset our quick Brady...
Again, we can't comment
on this. Sorry, John, I keep stepping on you. We'll reset the Brady thing next as well, and then I promise your calls the rest of the way. Don't go anywhere.
We ask our fans to reserve judgment.
Boston's home for sports.
Hey, it's Velger here tonight.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Your schedule is crazy. Her schedule is crazy. But it just seems like it's the perfect fit. And the love you have for her is so real. So for a guy who's only been married 5 years, how long have you been married?
Oh, God. 10.
10. Sorry to put you on the spot.
10, I know. See, 10, yeah.
10 years. I don't know. Is it, there's a secret to it?
I think, you know, marriages, I'm sure for everyone out there, they, you know, they ebb and they flow. I think the challenging part for us is we are very ambitious people. And a lot of times, you know, I'm going one direction, she's going the other, and it's, you know, ships passing in the night, and, you know, I'm going to football, and she's got things she's doing. Oh, by the way, the kids. And, you know, I think we just have to make sure we take time for one another. And I think if you want it to get better and improve, you've got to communicate. And, you know, we use a term in our house, CCC, clear current communication. Something clear, like, this is exactly how I'm feeling, and current, not like, this happened 6 months ago, you know, and you communicate about it. And I think that's helped us a lot. You know, how she feels about the things I'm doing, how I feel about the things she's doing. I want to support her and her dreams. She wants to support me and mine. And it's not like, you know, because I'm a football player, she just, her life's going to stop. You know, she has ambitions too.
She's a boss.
She is. Certainly in our house, she is.
She's winning that?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
What about?
So that was Brady. Remember just a month or two ago, what was a stupid show?
I don't know.
Something from E-Network.
That E-Network thing.
Like, yeah, right.
How do you have it so perfect, Tom? You know, and the secret to his successful marriage. Clear current communication. The three C's. I don't know what goes on in your house.
Something clear, like, this is exactly how I'm feeling. Current, not like, this happened 6 months ago. You know, and you communicate about it. And I think that's helped us a lot. You know,
clear in my house, it's passive aggressive, let things fester and then ignore it.
Yeah, it's the two S's, silent seething.
That's
usually how it goes in
the
most
two
households.
S's.
Yeah. No, I like that. Silent seething.
Silent seething.
I've lived most of my life like that now that I think of it.
It's like clear current communication. Give me a break.
We use a term in our house, CCC, clear current communication.
Yeah, we ignore it and let it fester and then get passive aggressive about it. So it's hard to know what's real, right? Because that's a tabloid TV show and now in the tabloid magazine, Life and Style. It's over, according to this magazine. It's real. And it wasn't an internet fabrication. 600 million divorce nightmare. Giselle dumps Tom. Fights, lies in separate bedrooms. What happened to clear current communication? Quote, nothing he ever did was good enough. Feel you, bro. Why she hated their Massachusetts mansion. By the way, these magazines, I'm a sucker for these magazines. I love them.
So I went through the whole thing last night. Reading this article. There's juicy stuff in here.
I've been picking my way through this thing all day. Like, and I don't even know.
The stars just the people, are. They are like us.
I don't know who they are, but like sober buddies. Brad and Brad. They're both gorgeous and have the same first name. But when once upon a time in Hollywood's Brad Pitt accepted the Best Supporting Actor Award from Bradley Cooper at the National Board of Review Gala, whatever the hell that is, he alluded to an even deeper commonality. I got sober because of this guy, said Brad of Bradley, who quit drinking more than 15 years ago. All right, cool. I'm a big fan of Brad Pitt. Glad to see you're doing well. You got, like, I'll pick my way through this crap like the best. I'm like, look, who wears it best? I love those.
A great photo of Scarlett Johansson.
Like, look at this one. So they're all wearing a nice white gown. And again, I don't know half these people are, but like Laura Harrier, whoever that is, I don't love it. Olivia Wilde, I don't like her get up there. I think she's a lovely gal. I'm into her, but that's too frilly.
Send that over when you're done with it.
This Kate Beckinsale number, beautiful, lovely, tight, well fitting. Like that's a good gown.
She's a classic beauty anyway.
Charlize Theron, beautiful, beautiful woman. Great simple dress, love it. Accessorized with that bag, she looks good there. Rihanna, you let it go a little bit. Little bit. Rihanna, got to rein that back in.
Yeah, I think she's partying a lot now.
Who's Julianne Hough? Julianne Hough.
Hough?
H-O-U-G-H?
Yeah, Julianne Hough.
So I only know her from these magazines, but wow, lovely.
Red hair, right?
No, she's blonde here.
Oh, she used to be on Dancing with the Stars, I believe.
This is what I'm saying. I don't know who these people are, but I will pick my way through how they wore it, who wore it best. I'll do that all day long. Like this this little thing here on biggest spenders, $28 million. Danica Patrick and Aaron Rodgers just spent $28 million
for the house in Malibu,
on a 4,600-square-foot house in Malibu. Maybe I'm seeing the problem here with my guy Aaron Rodgers. You're dropping $28 million on a house with Danica Patrick?
And it's only 4,600 square feet?
And it's only 4,600 square feet. Like, what are you? No wonder you're a mess.
Looks out in the Pacific Ocean. You've seen some of those homes in Malibu? Unbelievable.
Who's going to get more space? You get more space for that.
Who's Ansel Elgort? He just spent $15,000 on a beachfront villa in the DR. Snoop paid $5,000 for a bottle of champagne at 11 in Miami or whatever, however you pronounce that. Here's a sign of the apocalypse. Kylie Jenner spent $3,800 on a Fendi logo stroller and matching diaper bag. That's when you know it's just gone too far.
No discernible talent.
$3,800. So, I mean, that's not a huge number, but $3,800 for a matching Fendi stroller slash bag? So, like, I will consume on a flight. I will give me like six of these, and I will pick my way through this like you read about. I like the bathing suit photos. It's like this dude. Who's Andy Cohen?
He does the talk show.
This guy here.
Yeah.
Okay. Older guy, fit, looking good, shirt off on the beach. What are you doing? Now tell me about his diet. That's what I want to know. Like, what are you doing? You got a little keto going there? Like, what are you doing to stay in shape? That's the next thing I want to read.
Trainers and a chef.
Fine. Like, but I mean, give me the whole regimen. Eva Longoria here with her 19-month-old son. She looks great. She's like in her 40s. Like,
oh, yeah, she always had it though.
So anyway, like I said, I could spend.
You spend. I clearly. I'm telling you, much I love time these. You've actually spent.
I love these magazines.
I just look at the pictures.
Then we get to Tom and Giselle. It's over. It's over. Quote: "It's been over between Tom and Giselle. They had a long, good run, but they've grown apart." A source tells Life and Style. A big part of the problem? For years, Giselle has been begging Tom to retire, but although his contract with the Patriots is now up, the athlete says it's unlikely he'll step away from the field. So a disappointed Giselle would be looking at least another year of sleeping in separate bedrooms. Giselle puts, quote, "Giselle puts up with his training and game schedule, but she hates that he's away from home so much and always demands that he fly home as soon as he can to be a husband and a father." Like, this is, when I read that, it's like, this story's full of crap. Like, what do you mean that he always fly home? He plays 10 road games a year. What do you mean?
Well, the other thing is
team flight too. It's not like he's
like you can't hurry back on your own. You're on the flight.
The way that thing is worded too, like that the fact that he's playing, that's why they sleep in separate bedrooms. Because then it gets into how he, you know, his training regimen is right. The way it was worded suggested to me that Brady sleeps in a different room because during the season, you know,
he's up at 5 a.m.
That it's got training. It's got nothing to do with them like detesting each other's presence.
So I think the story's full of crap. I mean, like the going to the tabloids, they've been on the outs for years. So I take this with a tremendous grain of salt. I do. Although there's some fun things here, you know, Tom loves his family, but quote, he also loves it when he's away from Giselle's tough love. Adds a source. She wears the pants in the family and everyone knows it.
Well, including that, Jimmy admitted it.
And that part speaks to, I think, a couple of years ago when you had all those photos of popping up from, you know, the beat reporters that Brady was at the stadium 9 hours before the game because he wanted to get the hell away from her, get some peace and quiet.
Lately, things have gone from bad to worse. They've been having some nasty blowouts. One was after Giselle told Tom that a psychic told her to leave him. Which would be like, oh, my God, right. Is this what we're doing now?
Comes home after a bad loss or whatever, and he comes in, and I just saw the psychic. You saw what? How much did you spend? It was $3,000 for one session. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. And I have to break old behavior patterns. We have to break old behavior. Like, oh, Jesus,
oh,
enough with this.
Please.
You saw a psychic?
So I feel for him. If that one's true, I feel your pain. Also, this one, they've lowered the asking price for their mansion in Brookline by $6 million. And then I think they put the picture of, is that the Brentwood house or the Brookline house?
I don't know.
I was just looking at this. They might have put the wrong picture in the magazine here.
Oh, I don't think that's the Brookline house.
I think that's the old Brentwood house.
Yeah, I don't think that's Brookline.
Anyway, quote, Giselle hates living there. She thinks it's tacky and doesn't want to live in and wants to live in L.A., but Tom doesn't. She thinks the place in Brookline's tacky.
So now that I think of it, Tom doesn't want to live in L.A.? His agent can't be happy about that line.
So listen, here's a. There was one caption on the photo that led the story that said, quote, "They've been living separate lives for a while now," says an insider. "Giselle does her thing and Tom does his. They seem happier that way." So that doesn't mean divorce. It doesn't mean they're, you know, and again, I don't care about that stuff. I only care about what relates to football. And we have fun with it because it's in the tabloid magazine. But I really don't mean to pile on the personal life. And I honestly don't care about it. I only care about what it means about where he's going to play next year. That's our concern. And even if the story's bogus, they're not, Giselle's not dumping Tom. They're not getting divorced. If there's a little kernel of truth there that they're living separate lives or living more separate lives, and Tom seemed to imply that in that cut we just played coming back, that to me is meaningful. And I'll tell you why, because I'm over now. Let's do the update. 90 seconds, no commercials. I'll tell you what I think that means right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.